message for today. I know that's why you came here, right? You came here for the fellowship with each other and for fellowship with Christ, to listen to what Jesus has to say today, and that's what we want to do, right? So I'm going to be talking to you today about, are we there yet? And in James chapter 5 at verses 7 and 8, it talks to us, relates to us about our walk with the Lord, our spirituality, our spiritual growth, and relates it to the agricultural year. It says there in James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, that the farmer puts then the seed in the ground, and over a period of time, there are something miraculous that takes place. There is a growth that happens, and then there's a harvest. Now, the farmer is patient. He doesn't put the corn in the ground, and I know it's getting close to planting time here in Indiana, but, you know, the farmers, when they put their seeds in the ground in the 1st of May, if it's possible, it's not going to be ready to harvest the next day, is it? I don't think so. I think there's a process of time that comes, and people have to be patient and wait for the seed to grow, the plant to mature, and the time for the harvest. It takes time for that to happen. I believe that sometimes, in spite of what the farmer does to prepare, a hailstorm will come through and damage his crop. Isn't that true? Sometimes a flood will come and just cover the field with water and smother out all the plants. Sometimes we have, like we've had here in the last week, the really cold weather that just kind of killed everything. You never know what the weather's going to be like. There's always something interrupting that. But the farmer patiently waits and endures the hardships, knowing that there's probably going to be a harvest. He waits for that. And I believe in our spiritual growth, it's not appropriate for us to think that we can just say yes to Jesus today and tomorrow we're totally mature Christians. It's not the way it works. It's a process that we go through. We need to be patient with ourselves. We need to understand that God is working with us, and each day as we turn over our life to Him, He's doing something to help us mature and to grow spiritually so that we become more like Him and we're ready to go to heaven with Him when the harvest takes place. It's a process that we go through. I believe that Paul speaks about that. He talks about the growing process. And we think about our spiritual growth in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. It talks there about love being this part, a portion that this spiritual growth is based on. It's a love that Jesus had for you and I. It's a love that we have for Christ. And I believe that sometimes we don't really understand that love that Jesus had for us at Calvary. I don't believe we fully appreciated what He did for us. And I believe that oftentimes when we look in the mirror, we're not always satisfied with what we see. Is that true? Sometimes we find it difficult to love people around us because we don't have a real good love relationship for ourselves. Now, I'm not talking about this puffed up, false perception of somebody really thinking they're much better than what they are. No, I'm talking about a person accepting who they are. I'm talking about a person really loving themselves the way Jesus loves them, and understanding that love that Jesus has for us. And I believe that when we really understand how much Jesus loves us, and that we're able to love and accept who we are, it makes it a whole lot easier for us to love and accept other people around us. There is a perfection that Paul talks about in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. And here in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1, if you'll turn with me there, it says, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. There is this beginning belief in Christ that needs to be in every one of us, but it has to mature. It has to grow. It has to do something different. And I think that when Paul is talking about this perfection, that's what he's talking about here is maturity. There are so many people, and I've heard it just recently, where somebody was telling me they were going to do something that was really bad, and I reminded them of what God's will was for their life, and they said, well, I'm not perfect. Well, I agree with that one. I'm not either, in the sense that people understand perfection, because in the perfection that many people understand, it's without sin, failure, no problem. But what God is really saying here is maturity. that there is some growth spiritually taking place in a person's life. And if a person has come into the church, if a person has accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, and say they did that 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever the case may be, if they're still at the same place spiritually with Christ the day that they accepted Him as their Savior, that they're today, hey, there's no spiritual growth taking place. There's no maturing. And that's what Paul is talking about here, a process of growth, a process of spiritual maturing. And we need the grace of Jesus Christ, and we can only understand this process of maturing when we understand who Jesus is. It takes knowledge. We have to read God's Word to understand who Jesus is and what His will is for our life. We can't be force-fed. We can't have somebody spoon-feeding us. We can't expect someone else to do it for us. God expects us to open up the pages of His Word and prayerfully study His Word and to look at Jesus and His life and what it means for you and I. We need spiritual growth. And I can tell you, friends, if we're spending more time turning on the TV and watching the favorite program on TV than we do in reading God's Word, there will be no spiritual maturity. If we spend more time reading some other magazine or outside activity apart from the reading the Bible, we will not mature the way God wants us to. Now, does that mean we walk around with a Bible in our hand everywhere we go and we're just peeking at it every time we're doing something? We're at work, we're flipping the pages, and we're... No. It means that we spend some quality time with God. And we don't let the things of our life chase away that quality time. We find a quiet little niche in our house somewhere, and we spend time quietly speaking to God from our hearts in prayer. And we spend time listening to Him speak to us about His will for us through His Word. The only way we will ever grow spiritually is to spend time with God. It doesn't happen by osmosis. It doesn't happen because we're good Christians and we come through the door and we rub shoulders with each other on Sabbath morning. It happens because we rub shoulders with Jesus on a day-by-day basis. It's because we invite Him into our hearts daily. We must spend time with Him. We must get to know Him so that we can grow spiritually. I'm glad that all the children are here in the church today. And I think about Madison. You remember when she was born, how small she was? I think back about my children. And when I look at my youngest son today and how tall he is, I'm wondering, man, I remember when he was just like this, you know? It seemed like it was an impossibility, but children grow. I don't know about you, but I praise God that I grew from this little infant to what I am today. What about you? Would it be nice to stay at this size all the time? No, I don't think so. I praise God that there's change that happens in our life, that there is some growth process there, aren't you? I'm glad that we mature physically. That's a process that God has blessed us with. And I believe that little children, when they're first born, are so dependent on their parents. They have to be fed. They have to have their diapers changed. They have to have everything done for them. They can't even cover themselves up. They're so dependent on the parents. The parents have to do everything for the children. But there's a point in time where the children grow up. You look at the terrible twos. You ever had those experiences? And some of the terrible threes that even get better? Yeah. Well, children are a joy. And I couldn't help but smile when we were having our service here and Madison was speaking. It's so nice to hear a baby's voice in this church. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful that the children are here. But you know, children do grow up. They get a little older. They start getting to where they can walk. They get where they're not in diapers anymore. They get to where they're not bottle fed anymore. They become a little more independent. They start to be able to communicate with their parents and people around them. They start understanding simple commands and conversation. Then you get into the process of growth from the young children to adolescence, the teenager years. A little bit of a challenge. I think if you can remember back what it was like when you were a teenager, do you remember that? Yeah. I mean, honestly, remember that? You think about your children as they were growing up as teenagers. Yeah, those nice little cuddly, huggy kids. Sometimes, because of the way things happen in a teenager's life, they're not that cuddly, huggy kid anymore. They become your worst nightmare, or so it seems. Now, not all children are like that, but I know that. But sometimes, because of the hormones that rage in a teenager's life, they oftentimes become very independent. Isn't that true? And sometimes, because of the adolescence and not having, they have the zeal and not the wisdom connected to it, they oftentimes become a little bit of a terror. And you've seen that in some children. Not all children are like that, I understand that. But there are some who are pretty troublesome sometimes. But then, you know, praise God, they make it through the teenage years and they become adults. And we can praise the Lord. They made it. They're adults. They can stand on their own. They're independent. They're free thinkers. They know how to take care of themselves. They can fend for themselves no matter what comes up. Praise the Lord. Well, I believe that in the church, that sometimes just like newborn babies, we have people in the church that are spiritual babes. And that's what Paul talks about here. James talks about it. Is children grow up and become adults. People come into the church and they accept Christ as their Savior. At that point, they're newborn babies. They're like drinking milk because that's all they can do. And we help them grow spiritually. But there is this growing process that needs to take place. They grow from the newborn babes in Christ. They become like young children, adolescents, and then adults. It's the same kind of growing process. That's what James talks about. In James 5, and he uses this agricultural year, there is a growing process that we need to be patient with. We need to understand that there's growing pains that are associated with this growth process in spiritually maturing. And I believe that sometimes things don't always work out. You know, the teenagers that sometimes wreak havoc in their life and everybody else's, sometimes the spiritual teenagers in the church do the same thing. Sometimes because of some trauma that has happened in somebody's experience, they get their emotions locked up at a certain point in time. And maybe you've seen that experience where adults, full-grown adult people, have a physical adult body, but their emotions, they're still locked up in the teenage years or somewhere else where some trauma has happened and there's been no growth. Well, sometimes spirituality happens that same way. It gets to a certain point, and because it's not nurtured, because of something that's happened, it hasn't progressed, and people are at this certain stage with no maturing. And God wants you and I to mature as His people. He wants us to be growing on a daily basis in His Word. We need to be taught from God's Word, and we need to be able to show that we're stable in the faith. Look in Hebrews chapter 5 at verse number 12. It says there, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk and not solid food. You know, Paul was talking to the Corinthians, and he was telling them when he had left and he had come back after a period of time that they needed, they should have been eating meat, but they were still drinking milk. There should have been some growth process with the church at Corinth, but it wasn't happening. And the church of the Hebrews, he was talking to them, and he was telling them the same kind of thing. There should have been some maturing process in your spiritual growth. In fact, by now, he says, you should have been teachers of the Word. And I come back, and you're still just drinking milk. You're still just like at the beginning stages of Christianity, not understanding it as you should and doing it as God has called you to. And I think that's an issue, that being stuck in the beginning stages of Christianity and not progressing is because of our lack of knowledge of God's will for our life and our unwillingness to follow God where He's called us, to be able to step out in faith and demonstrate that faith by doing what God has asked us to do. God expects us to grow and progress. In Proverbs 4:18, it says, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining even brighter till the full light of day. When the sun comes up in the morning, it's not quite as light as it is at noonday. And I believe that our experience is like that, that the further we progress in our spiritual walk with the Lord, the brighter it will become. I believe that Christ needs to be inside of each one of us, don't you? We need to have Jesus in our life, the light of the world, lighting up our lives. And through that process of us being lit up, Jesus Christ will light the world around us. And He wants to use you and I to be a light to this world. in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 18. I'm going to paraphrase the statement, but I believe it's so true. By beholding Him, Jesus Christ, you and I will become changed. There will never be the spiritual growth and changing in our walk with the Lord. We will never become the children of God that He wants us to be unless we are looking to Jesus. We must look to Christ. And it's by looking at Him that we will become mature spiritual Christians. Our spiritual maturity will be seen in our faith in God. But how can we accomplish this? First off, it's by putting away the childish things, and that's what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 13:11. He says, when I was a child, I acted like a child, I talked like a child, I did things like a child, but when I became an adult man, he said, I put all of those childish things away. And I believe that's so true for us, friends. As Christians, we may have been babes when we first started in the Christian faith, but there comes a point in time when we have to put all those childish things away, and what Paul is saying here, grow up. That's what he's saying. Grow up. Grow up emotionally. Grow up spiritually. Mature as Christian adults. Take on the responsibility of being a real adult Christian. Don't let somebody else keep fending for you, doing your things, changing your diapers, giving you milk, putting on your blankets, taking off your blanket. Grow up. That's what Paul's saying. Grow up and take on the responsibility of a mature adult Christian. And it's by exercising our faith in Christ that we demonstrate our growth. By applying what we know to our personal walk with the Lord, we demonstrate to the world what Jesus can do in each side of us. You look in Hebrews chapter 5 at verse number 14. It says, but solid food is for the mature, and who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. That is a process of maturing, a process of growth. It's not something that the church does for you. It's something that we individually do for ourselves. We spend time in God's Word knowing His will, and it is by His divine grace that you and I mature and grow. But we have to have a model, and that's why we need to behold Him. We have to look to Jesus. We need to look at Him on a daily basis. We demonstrate our spiritual maturity by overcoming temptations in our lives. It's too easy for us to say, well, I'm not perfect. Hey, I just got these weaknesses. I got these propensities towards sin. I got these temptations that are after me all the time. I just give them to them. I can't help it. I'm just weak. For some reason, that just doesn't sound right to me. Because when I think of the cross of Calvary, friends, and I think of how strong Jesus was for you and I, when I think of what Jesus went through day by day in His ministry with the devil hot on His heels every day, I can't help but believe that there's some strength there for you and me. I can't help but believe that there's victory in Jesus because of what He's done for us at Calvary. There is victory in the blood of Christ. And for us to use that as a cloak for our unrighteousness and our sin, it is not what God wants of us. It is not the spiritual maturity that God is expecting from His people. And someday, all of God's people will stand before Him in the judgment. And how can we stand up before God and say, well, I'm not perfect? Well, it's true, we're not. But we know somebody that is. Isn't that true? We know somebody that is perfect, and that is Jesus Christ the righteous. And because of who Jesus is, when we invite Him into our lives, friends, we take on His righteousness and His perfection. And that's what He wants us to do. By beholding Him, you and I become changed. By inviting Him into our lives, we can become the mature Christians that He wants us to be. And we don't have to use a wimpy excuse, well, I'm not perfect. Well, God calls for us to be holy because that's what He is. And by bringing Him into our daily experience, we become holy with Him. There is victory in Jesus. And He wants you and I to be victorious Christians for Him. 1 Corinthians 16:13, it says, Paul speaks and he says, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. I interpret that to mean grow up. Stand up and act like an adult Christian. God is calling for you and I to give a witness to the world. Stand up for Jesus wherever you're at. No matter if they're at work cursing at you, no matter if the times are persecuting, wherever we go, no matter what is happening out there, when we walk through these doors, friends, and we step out into the world, there are all kinds of bad things out there. This world is coming to an end, and it's getting worse every day. And God has called you and I to have Christ Jesus in us and to allow His light to shine through us to the world around us. We walk out into the world and we meet all kinds of opposition. We have all kinds of things thrown at us, temptations and trials and persecution. It happens to God's people around the world. But God's grace is strong enough to help us give a witness for Him and to be successful and victorious for Him. And when we walk through these doors, friends, this should be a safe environment for all of God's people. This should be a place, regardless of how people look at us out there, whether they agree with us, whether they love us, whether they accept us, when we walk in here, we should know that we're in a safe environment where people love and accept us. Can you agree with that? This is the place. We should feel comfortable and secure here. And Christ is calling for you and I to live the full life in Him. He wants us to stop crying like little children and start praying like mature adults and believe that God loves you. Do you believe that today? God loves you. And I don't think anything in this world could mirror that love more perfectly than the cross of Calvary. I don't think there's anything that could tell us more about God's care and His love for each one of us than when we look at the cross. And we see what Jesus was able to go through just for you. Listen, friends, in times of persecution, in times of trial, in times of trouble, in times of temptation, where will you look? To some inner strength or to Jesus? By beholding Him, you become changed. And we need to look to Jesus. We need to have His power, His grace in our lives. Jesus came to give you and I the good life. And He wants us to live it to its abundance and to its fullness. But this life that He wants to give us here is nothing in comparison to what He's prepared for you and I up in heaven. That abundant life that we share here is a blessing from God. But God has something even more perfect and better for each one of us up there in heaven. Hey, He's made reservations just for you. Think about it. 5-star hotel up there in heaven. And He's made that just for us. And He's coming back to take us there. He's bringing His limousine, that cloud of glory. And He's going to take us back to that house where He's prepared a place for every one of us there. I can't wait for that time. I long for the day when Jesus will come back. And He'll take us to that place in heaven that He's prepared for us. And He's calling for you and I to be faithful to Him until He gets here. I believe that's what exactly He wants us to do. Listen to this in Philippians chapter 3 at verse 12 through 14. In Philippians chapter 3 and verses 12 through 14. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Hey, we can think about all of the bad experiences that we've had all through our childhood and our adult life. We can keep looking back, always reminiscing, always sad, always depressed. We can always have those bad feelings about who we are. But Paul says, forget it, grow up, and look forward. Jesus is coming again. And he's saying, look forward to heaven. Look forward to Jesus Christ. Look to Christ and behold Him in all of His glory and all of His power. Look to Jesus and find victory and strength in your daily walk. You want spiritual growth? By beholding Him, you will become changed. Listen, friends, I think this illustration is true. Inside of each one of us, you could say, is a hungry dog. There's two hungry dogs, in fact, inside of us. And we'll call one of them the world and the other spiritual growth in Christ. And it's a guarantee that whichever one you feed the most is the one that's going to grow the biggest. Look to Jesus and behold Him.